Hey, hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I am Kevin Walter, the host, and hopefully we can have a good show today. I got a few things on my mind. True Wealth is a radio show, if you haven't figured that out, that's sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Excuse me. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. That is makes us very unique on a national basis. We do everything. We handle everything. We specialize in wealth and capital preservation. We help you save money, okay? I've done this. I'll explain it. I promise you, we're fair. We're honest. I really believe there's no one like us. There's people that can, you know, get a handful of this or that and blow it off because they need cash flow. But on a national basis, we are the most, in fact, we're better. We're beyond the most honest, fair, and competitive dealer I know of. There's big names on the web. You can look things up and think you're smart because you're on the internet, the interweb, which is a series of tubes. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that's a joke. But long ago, there was a congressman that was in charge of it. That's what he said. Brilliant guy. But the whole thing is we deal every day, short and sweet. People come in every day with all kinds of stuff they've bought all over the place. You can say, oh, what's the price on this or that? And then, you know, they bring the stuff in, they've bought other places, and it's garbage. There's always an issue. There's all kinds of manipulation. They push the limits beyond what's even, well, there shouldn't be pushed anyway. We've done everything in our power to keep things, you know, I put on my name to keep things honest or whatever. Here's where I'm going. My motto from the day I opened up was honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction. I have learned there are many, many people out there that they just can't believe it. There's people in your, you know, it's hard. I mean, they just can't comprehend that that's possible. It's not some kind of spiritual righteousness. It's just a choice. It's a choice. We're human and all that, but we do everything in our power to be honest and above board at all times, fair, with integrity and everything. And I can just tell you that's who we are. That's what we do, and that's who we are, period. Today, you know, we're buying stuff from people, I mean, that just get ripped off here, ripped off there. They get sucked in. They go to some other, I hate to even call ourselves a coin shop, because if you come in here, you're in. Our facility, you know, is like Tiffany's, but nicer. Praise the Lord when we did it. Nordstrom Service, whatever you want to call it. Nordstrom Service is different, though, because now you can steal up to $900 and run out with it. We do not have that policy, in case you're wondering. And because we deal in gold and silver, we don't have any free samples. If you're looking for those, you can look somewhere else. We build nice portfolios. I mean, I'm telling you, folks, one of my greatest legacies is my daughter's come into this business, and she's just amazing. I mean, in every way, if you meet her, you're just like, whoa. Something went right there. And I'll tell you, it's so exciting when she comes in back, so excited. And she's like, you know, how faithful God is and how good he is to our business and how proud she is to be part of a family business where we really, really strive for honesty, integrity in every transaction. Seriously. I mean, that's it. We're fair. We're honest. We're upfront. That is sounds like a used car salesman trying to sell you an old gremlin. But I'm just telling you, it's gutsy to say, but it's true. It's a fact, okay? Period. How about that? We are always buying and selling all forms of precious metals, gold, silver, and good old platinum, palladium, and even rhodium, which has been up to 20,000 an ounce here in the near past. I don't know what it is today because I don't have any in stock because it's crazy. Rhodium's what they use to plate all metals with. So the reason they call precious metals is because they defy some aspect of physical law. Gold is the most infinitely divisible element in existence. There's nothing naturally occurring on Earth that will destroy it, which is why it's not subject to the second law of thermodynamics, which is entropy and breakdown. Silver. It is not, and all these are beautiful metals, by the way. Silver is colloidal. It kills all microorganisms within 0.4 to 4 seconds of contact. I say 2-4 seconds. There's apparently some nasty bacteria that take up to 4 seconds for silver to kill it. That's pretty good stuff. I work with silver constantly. My hands are always in it, and I just don't get sick. I've had situations with people with, we've had relatives or friends with extreme cases of like acne, seriously, where we'll mix colloidal silver powder with sulfur and put it in a lotion, and they rub it on their acne situation, and a week or two later, guess what? It's gone. It is an amazing metal. Platinum and palladium are, they're metals that remove all of the elements from our air that kill humans. That's why they use them in catalytic converters. It turns CO3, carbon monoxide, into CO2, carbon dioxide, and water. A water molecule comes out. And it's, you know, I could get into that more. It's amazing. They use them in the military grade gas masks, and it's pretty, you know, it's pretty awesome. Rhodium is an element that will adhese or bind, technically, I guess, alloy, but alloy in an electrolysis manner to the exterior of any other metallic element. It's really a wild, cool thing. So that's why they call them precious metals. They have special properties. And so we deal in all that stuff, and I'm very glad the Lord put me in this situation. You can probably hear me here. Withdraw. I'll get rid of this stuff. Obviously, we buy and sell rare coins. Coins are not rare. Rare coins are rare. They make enough coins every year for everyone to have tons. Drawers full, banks full, businesses full, your jar in the closet full. So coins aren't rare. Rare coins are rare, and rare coins are based on mintage and then supply and demand, availability. You get people who are like, I have an error. They look at some coin that's, you know, circulating around, and it's been run over by a tractor, and someone poured acid on it, and they bring it in. I have a rare error, and it's like, yeah, right. They make so many of them that their quality control is almost impeccable. So we buy and sell coins, collections, numismatic. We build portfolios. You got that point, right? We have the highest rated privately held depository service in, I used to say the Northwest. I'll say the West. I don't even know. I haven't done research. I'll just say we have a very, probably one of the highest rated privately held depository services in the United States. It's the building's built from the ground up with exceptional quality control, security in mind, really a neat deal. When God plants a seed in you, you're not going to stop it. And I did that back when I didn't know better, and it worked out, and God was good to me. And then, of course, there's like scrap gold jewelry and diamonds, which is just old used jewelry and things people have sitting around in the drawer. What for? What's it doing for you? Just sitting there, you know. Well, my mom gave it to me, and it's sentimental. How is that sentimental? A broken bracelet, you know? Do something good with it. Bring that stuff in, trade it out, get something decent. Or just get a few ounces of silver or a little or piece of gold coin. Something you know exactly what you have all the time. That's how God made it. You want to know what you got. Jewelry's cool. It's got metal in it. Precious. And some people are like, well, you know, they go to Zales and buy some crazy ring. I always say Zales, but there's so many of them out there. Rogers Jewelers and Carl Weisfields and Clark's and Coeur d'Alene or whatever. They pay exorbitant amounts of money for things, and they automatically think it's an investment. Not true. We have a wonderful selection of diamonds. But we do private consultation sales. That's where we sit down, help you design a ring, pick out what you want. We get that. We provide that for you, not custom built. Custom jewelry, folks, is a first-class ripoff. The time, money, and energy that goes into it's ridiculous, and the quality's never as good as a CAD design, which is computer-aided drafting, where you can build the thing and online, and it's all now with 3D printing and everything. They print the mold in 3D, and you get the picture. There's just the best stuff out there. We do that, and we do a lot of bridal stuff. We just help people out a lot. That's our thing. We are high volume, low margin. I'm telling you, every day we stand here and I'm like, people come in with things they've bought here or there. It's always hype. Don't chase hype. Chase wisdom. Seek wisdom. How about this? It says, more than silver or gold. Seek wisdom more than silver or gold. What is that all about? Well, it's pretty obvious. Wisdom gets you all the rest. I think in Proverbs 23, it says, a wise man's house is full of great riches and treasures. And I was talking to a friend today about tithing and wealth and God's blessing. Wealth is not a sin. The spirit of riches, mammon, mammos. Mammos is the spirit of a self-made man. Jesus said, you cannot worship or serve God and mammon. And people go, well, you can't serve God money. Well, yeah, you can't serve money, period. But mammon, the word means self-made man, self-made money. I'm a self-made man. I am grand. I've had like these Amway guys in here. One guy years ago, big shot in Amway. Kevin, do you know who I am? I'm like, no, sir. I am blank blank, and I am a self-made man. Okay, I instantly know that man is not serving the Lord. A man like that cannot drop to his knees before God and be in a prostrate position. How, you know, that spirit of I'm something special, you're nothing. God made you. You are blessed by your very existence. You are a special creation. You matter. Okay, that is a fact. You matter. You have to realize that. You're finding your way through life. We all have our journey. It's tough. We mess up. We make mistakes. Seriously, don't shame yourself. Shaming is garbage. You cannot do that. It does nothing. There's nothing productive. But you gain wisdom by mistakes. The Bible, you know, says a righteous man falls down seven times, which again, seven is infinity, and I can back that up with my background in applied mathematics and statistics, because each country, each nation, each language has a different form of zero and infinity. It says a righteous man falls seven times. A righteous man falls infinitely and gets back up, but a wicked man falls down, and what does he do? It says he falls down and he stays down. How do you stay down? Oh, self-abuse, shame, guilt. And, you know, and people come from families where parents don't even know any better. They just shame their kids. Shame, shame, shame. We're called to encourage, to build up, to edify. You know how hard that is? To sit there as a parent or a friend and watch someone just butcher shop it and go, you know what, buddy, get up. It's going to be okay. You're going to make it. Don't beat yourself up. Trust me. People, we're hard enough on ourselves. We don't need other people to help us. There are social paths, and I have dealt with my share, and they really exist. But if the Holy Spirit dwells within you, I don't know. I get confused with, you know, I've had my share of experiences with the self-professed Christian. You know, Paul says, babes drink milk, adults eat meat. And there's people that claim to know Christ, and they're not doing it right, you know? And you can tell by the fruits. It says by the fruits. The problem is, if you come from a legalistic background, you think you can judge the fruits. Because what are the fruits to you? Well, I spend this amount of time at church, and I read my Bible for this amount of time, and I prayed, and I told three people at the grocery store about Jesus. That's not fruits. The fruits are the depth of your core. They're who you really are. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, and you can apply all these, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Find an area that you apply each of those, literally, like heartfelt. You know, I have a hard time with people that are like, well, we're all just sinners saved by grace. Yeah, that's the very, very beginning point. We are. And it's a wording, but the bottom line is we're human. We're on this cool journey together. Is it uncomfortable? Yeah. Is it hard? Yeah. But we're blessed to be here. We're blessed to have the conscience of sentience, which is our ability to observe ourselves observing, which is absolute evidence that you have a spirit within you. You can watch yourself watching. You can think about yourself while you're thinking. You can talk to yourself while you're talking. How's that? Do you have a split personality? No. You have a spirit. You have the spirit, soul, and the flesh. And I don't know exactly how it all works together, but there you've got two entities operating simultaneously. You cannot dream about yourself. You can't die in your dreams because you don't know where you'd go. You can have a dream of yourself laying in a coffin dead, but guess what? You're still alive while you're dreaming of yourself dead. That's the spirit. The spirit never dies. Figure it out because you have an eternal price to pay. Sometimes God will let bad people do bad things to you and not repent. And be sociopathic because God needs them. Okay, first of all, they know your faith. And I've had this happen. They'll do bad things. And they won't repent and they won't make it right. And ultimately, they're sealing their fate. And God will allow them to do bad things to you to seal their fate. You're like, boy, that's cold. Hey. God said his will is that all are saved. And then there's like, I've talked to people that are just out in left field. I had this Mormon moron a while ago that was doing stuff and I was dealing with, and he was just wretched. And I let him kind of work his way into our business a little bit. And he'd be, you know, he knew I love God, love scripture. And he'd be like, you're only saved as much as you gain knowledge. That was his big scripture. What does that mean? You're only saved as much as you gain knowledge. You tell me. Figure that one out. But that's just that foolish, fruitless babble. And then the guy had sticky fingers, and you get the picture. I mean, but God allows bad things to happen to us in the grand scheme of things. It says in the Bible, God made everything. It says, even the wicked... for the day of wrath. He even made the wicked. He even made the sinner, the broken, fallen man for the day of wrath. God's word makes sense. It speaks to our spirit. It speaks to our soul. It speaks to our flesh. There's nothing else like it out there. A couple things I want to rattle trap here. We've got, so I'm reading this rubbish. The Roe v. Wade. Here's a doozy for you. We have, I got to pull this letter. Okay, the WHPA, the Women's Health Protection Act or something like that. Women's Health. I was listening to this garbage today on CNBC or something because, of course, I have to agitate myself where Nancy Pelosi, it's a lie, you know, it's like, and then this other gal comes up. It's about, and they say it's about reproductive rights. It's about murder. Murder. Abortion is murder. This whole deal about, well, these girls have to be able to go get an abortion at the drop of a hat. You know, of course, Planned Parenthood gets massive government funding to feed this infanticide nightmare. And they're like, well, you know, they have a right. Reproductive rights. Reproductive rights. And they use the word abortion. It's like abortion is to abort, to destroy. It's really a disgusting word, and yet they're so hard-hearted, it makes sense to them. It's okay. The word abort means to cut out, undergo the destruction of a fetus, to bring to a premature end because of a problem or fault. I mean, it's just crazy. You know, the word is disgusting. And they're this sick, sick mindset. And I could go on to terminate, to destroy something prematurely. And on, you get the point. Abortion is gross. It's wrong, it's evil, it's bad, and I think you get the point. I'm trying to get out of this stupid website. I think of words like biblical words. You shall not murder. Is that not one of our Ten Commandments? And then they, you know, the free pro-choice to break one of the Ten Commandments. You shall not murder. It used to be considered bad to break all the commandments, but now that's apparently okay. And then you get into, I was reading earlier, Genesis 4. Where is Abel your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, whatever. Then he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. How much more, folks, would the voice of a baby's blood cry out to God? Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And then, so here's what happens. You've got all these, the blessings from God when you tithe and obey him. You also have cursings from God. Now you are cursed from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You'll be a wanderer and a drifter on the earth. Kill a baby, pay a price. So here's the deal. God is a forgiving, loving God. I know there's tons of women out there that have undergone that. Just repent. You don't have to tell everybody. It's shameful. It's sad. It's, you know, but just repent. There's so many abortions committed in this country. 3 out of 10 viable pregnancies in this nation end in abortion. So when you're standing on the pulpit or you're talking to anybody or your pastor's preaching, the church is full of women who've had abortions. This is why they fight to keep it legal, because they think if it's legal, it's right. Our morality is not defined by legality. It's defined by God. And that's when I say, you know, that government by man, or by God, I'm sorry. Government by man is godliness. Boy, I butchered that. I'm starting all over. Or put the eraser out. I got that butchered. Government by man is godlessness. Government by man is godlessness. Thinking because it's legal, it's right, is godlessness. Government by God, which is what America was designed for, is godliness. Capitalism and free market is godliness. Are we executing it properly? No. We have this great big group of destroyers that we tolerate. Oh, the liberals, the left, the Democrats. They're evil. The people aren't necessarily evil, but the organization is. I was listening to Nancy Pelosi come out today with the Women's Health Protection Act. Second time they've passed it through Congress or the House. And, of course, it'll go to the Senate and get shot down by the filibuster. And they think in this next election in the fall, if they get a couple more senators, they can override the filibuster and push this stuff through. They say it's designed to codify to codify means make permanently solid Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade was the abortion law that was just struck down by what Nancy Pelosi calls an extremist court. No, it's pretty obvious if you watch the behavior of the Supreme Court justices, you have those that are trying to adhere to our founders' intent for the Constitution, and then you have those who are just political activists from the bench. They are the last thing a Supreme Court justice should ever do is legislate from the bench. Sotomayor is cuckoo. I mean, these things are bad. That's not what it is. We are losing to this madness, pure madness. In our country, they convince you all the time, everything is bad. What do they tell you? They're against the evil Republicans, the right. They're really against God, and they're against the Constitution. It's purely obvious. They don't care what it says. They care what they want. And what they want is skewed based on deception from the evil one. There's no question in my mind. To sit and fight and blab, I was listening to this gal today about using the word abortion, and you have a right to abortion, and everyone knows this sad story about a girl that had to travel all the way to Indiana to get an abortion. Well, maybe it gave her time to think. How does she feel about that? Well, she had to do it because it was going to ruin her life. The baby, no, it doesn't ruin your life. It changes the course of your life. And I've talked about it, the physical act that creates a child. Yes, abstinence is wonderful, and there's people that can do it, but there's also people that aren't raised that way, and they don't learn that way at the right age, and they get exposed to the wrong things, and they engage in things they shouldn't, and all that. It is not for us to judge how people get to where they get. We can protect ourselves against those things. We don't judge how they got there. We help people in those situations. And that's where when girls see a sonogram of their baby, everything changes. It's not hypothetical. This Women's Health Protection Act, reproductive rights, is like abortion up till birth and then some. And the fact of the matter is they're scrambling. They're freaking out to terrify everybody that believes in this stuff because they know that if everyone figures out, hey, there's plenty of places to get an abortion, and I'm as against it as you can imagine. I mean, I got married at 20. To be honest, my wife of 35 and a half years was pregnant. And I got married, and it was very difficult, and it was very hard. And then she had rheumatoid explosion. She spent years bedridden. We've been through all that. And I've raised kids, and I worked hard, I prayed hard, I went to school while I was working full time, studying probably one of the hardest topics you can study. So I can tell you, it doesn't ruin your life. That's where the seasoning and quality of life comes in, folks. There's no other way. And I can't leave that out of my story. That's my story. Did I mess up? I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I served God with the solution. And was it easy? No. Am I great? No. But I trust God and I love him. And, you know, did it ruin my life? I don't know. Of course, I have a wonderful life. How do I know what? I didn't know if it ruined my life. It definitely didn't. What I meant is, I don't know what the other path of my life would have been. The other path of my life could have been the greatest disaster known to man. That's just a sick, self-centered, fleshly perspective. You know, you get to the point now where we're finding out there's all these married couples that have two kids or three kids. They get pregnant later than they expect, and boom, they want to kill the baby. And that's exactly what abortion does. So pray your tail off that this stuff doesn't get any further. This is terrifying. They know that after this next election, when the Republicans get in, it's going to be ugly. And I'm telling you, for them. And I'm telling you, they're going to keep trying to get this back because they've got to operate from fear, opposition, vitriol, hatred. I don't know if you saw Biden in Saudi Arabia sitting there in a trance. I mean, he's out to lunch. That's actually a compliment. The other thing I've had on my mind here recently, I've been looking around thinking, you know, all this COVID stuff was a disgusting scandal. Everything is fear and terror and control. It is the devil, man. Get rid of it. Stand up strong. Don't be a coward. Don't comply. Be diplomatic, but don't comply. Just like Juneteenth. What's Juneteenth? It's a day that a bunch of black students sat in a restaurant and they took some serious abuse to say, hey, there shouldn't be segregation. It wasn't easy, but they transformed our country to another level. But, you know, this Black Lives Matter, yeah, duh. I mean, that's just so dumb. Black Lives Matter. Oh, really? No, every life matters. Don't say that. You're evil. You're racist. Wait, what? God creates everyone, and they're all important to him, and that's racist. We're being pushed and brainwashed, and the listeners here, folks, please educate yourself. Become intelligent. I mean, I'm not saying you're not, but I mean, just intellectualize yourself. Take the time. Read your word. If you know the word of God, you will speak eloquently. Read one book of Proverbs every day based on the date. If it's today's the 15th, read Proverbs 15. It starts out with a soft answer, turns away wrath. Read it every day. It's God's wisdom. The God of the universe has given you wisdom. He made you, and he made the instruction manual, and you can read it, and you can know his heart, soul, strength, and mind. But nah, we're too busy, right? You got other things to do, man. You got to follow that series on TV, whatever you do. Or you got people that won't have any electronics. I don't have a computer. I don't have a TV. I mean, come on. You don't need to feed yourself filth, and I can only take a small token of it, barely. But educate yourself. Edumacate. So here's the deal. This generation that I'm seeing is the new generation. How about that? Alpha, Zeta. Zeta, Alpha. They're blind to the prosperity around us. I see them as the give me generation. They're now coming into command. I sit and I look through news feeds and all this stuff and all this garbage. You know, left-wing everything. I could spend a ton of time. You can't even get anything objective anymore or even counterintelligence for the left-wing Marxist, you know, propaganda. These candidates are endlessly calling for policies. That are socialistic, Marxism, anti-capitalism. People just hang out. Everything's fine. They're living their lives, working on their, you know, computers and, you know, instant food, fast food's packed. Cars are piling by our building. We live in the most privileged time in the most prosperous nation in the history of the world, blessed by God, and we're completely blind to it. We're numb. We got vehicles, food, great food, bad food too, but tons of it, technology. We have the freedom to associate with whoever we want, hypothetically. This stuff, our lifestyle, is so ingrained into the American way of life, we don't even give them a second thought. We're so well off here in the U.S., you know, our poverty line begins. Think of this. Our poverty line is 31 times above the global average. 31 times. People that we consider in poverty, 31 times more wealthy than the global average. And we are like, oh, the homeless and the guy on the corner drunk dancing around. I'm telling you, I know a lot of people that own the homeless shelters and stuff and run them. The people on the corner don't need your money. Don't give it to them. They have places to go. They need to clean up their life. All you got to do is look at them. They've hammered their life into the dirt. Do I have empathy for them? You bet I do. Do I have sympathy? Yeah. Why do I use the word empathy versus sympathy? Empathy is trying to put yourself in their shoes, realizing, but for the grace of God, there go I. Sympathy can be looking down on people like, oh, that poor soul, that poor, you know, you don't want to be pompous either, because any of us could end up in that situation. No one in the United States really, virtually, is considered poor by global standards. I mean, everyone orders everything online and Amazon with one click, have it at their doorstep the next day. We're unappreciative, unsatisfied, ungrateful, and that's why we're letting them destroy our economy, because we don't take care of it. We don't take care of anything. We're not teaching our kids the ethics. It's my generation, I guess. I'm pretty proud of my kids, but there's, you know, a younger generation that's producing malaise. I mean, it's just terrible. It's vanilla tofu, what's coming out a lot. Our lack of appreciation is evident as the popularity of all these crazy socialist policies in this new generation continues to grow. Bernie Sanders sold it. The left never stops. Evil never quits. Where is good? You got good old, remember AOC? You don't even follow her anymore because they got their man in office. And she's dingier than a fruit bat, and she'll be on CNN. You know, she doesn't even know what she's talking about. I heard her say recently about the millennial generation. She called them, listen to this, an entire generation, which is now becoming one of the largest electorates in America, came of age and never saw American prosperity. She babbles this garbage. She's saying the greatest electorate never saw American prosperity. Huh? They never didn't see prosperity. She is foolish and, I think, self-servingly evil. I think she's a narcissist and she's full of baloney. And these kids listen to this because why? What do they want? They want it all without earning it. The value of life is earning it. It's working hard, putting in the time, going through hard times, skinning your knees, bumping your elbows. Going through, that's how you grow. Even intellectually, you got to interact with other people. You got to have jobs you don't like. You got to work with people you can't stand. You got to have people beat you up and knock you around, because that's how you build your faith. That's how you build your character and your integrity. You learn to grow and control yourself and control what you say and everything. Trust me, I went down that road. How can she say we never saw prosperity? I mean, this country, look around, fly. If you haven't flown, look down on the earth and look at all the real estate. It is, I don't even know what the value of it is. It's so far beyond anything you could comprehend. It'd blow your mind. I would say let that sink in a little bit. I'd say literally the most entitled and factually illiterate thing I've heard is that statement, that they've never seen prosperity. Many foolish young people, I think they agree with her. They're completely misguided by her and this whole, you know, brainwashing organization. They're being indoctrinated by a mainstream narrative to actually believe we've never seen prosperity by this 24/7 news and social media mess. I'm going to say I humbly disagree with that. Why then, with all the overwhelming evidence around us, do we not view, can't we see the prosperity? We have people who are dying to flood into our country, literally dying, pouring in. People around the world are destitute and truly impoverished. No wonder. You can't blame the immigrants pouring over our border. They're not the problem. It's just like if you have wealth in your home and there's no laws, which they're getting to now, where you can steal property and have no consequences, there's no laws they can pour right into your house and steal your stuff. Would you like that? What's the difference? We have this younger generation convinced they've never seen prosperity, and as a result, they're electing these nut job politicians that are literally dead set on taking steps towards destroying capitalism. And the thing is, they used to say this. The 80s politicians would bark this stuff out, and then they'd govern from the middle. Now they're bouncing off the left. And I'm telling you, Biden's a dead man. a dead man walking with a spirit that's keeping him alive. And I don't know the rest of that story, but I'm telling you, it seems pretty apparent to me. Capitalism is freedom. It's free market. You have to allow it. Granted, there's corruption and aristocracy and all this. You combat that, but you don't destroy capitalism, but they're just gulping this socialism. The true answer to all this stuff is this: the newer generation has only seen prosperity and entitlement. They have nothing to contrast it against. They haven't lived through the Great Depression. They didn't live through two world wars, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. They haven't seen the rise and fall of socialism and communism and the absolute dire destruction it brings. They don't know what it's like to live without the stinking internet. They don't know what it's like to not have cars, to not have smartphones, and everything is designed for their instant gratification. We do not have a lack of prosperity. We have an entitlement problem and an ungratefulness problem, and it has spread like the plague. And I think we need to be a lot more grateful. Think about God's perspective. So I want to talk a little bit about money and financial stuff. The deal is, the metals prices are fantastic. There's been so much abuse and manipulation and pounding down. And, you know, I was thinking back the other night after Wednesday's show about there's always something they're trying to use to stifle or mute precious metals. God made precious metals. I've been through that with you over and over. It starts in Genesis. It goes to Revelations. It's all over heaven's piled in it. He tells us that people are chucking their gold and silver in the streets on the end day, the day of wrath, which is you throw your gold and it's the day of wrath and you go see God, then you get to live in this massive 1,500 mile by 1,500 mile pyramid filled with gold and every other amazing thing you can't even imagine. It was good enough. God's like, my son's on the earth. The wise men, good name, bring him gold, silver, or gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, 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 gold. God built his temple on earth through Solomon to represent heaven. And what's it full of? Gold. I've done this, but I'm telling you, the wisest, richest man ever sends ship after ship after ship out, him and his buddy King Hiram of Tyre, all over the world to gather up gold and silver. Folks, you need it. It's the one place your money needs to be. It's simple. It's so simple. You do business with us, you're getting the best prices nationally. Our buy-sell spreads are percentage points, minuscule. And one thing I would recommend when it's available, I have some now, a quantity, but it never is, isn't it? We call it semi-numismatic gold. It's pre-1933 gold. Made by the United States Mint. They come in $20, $10, $5, and $2.5. A $20 a 1 ouncer, a $10 a half ouncer, $5 quarter ouncer, etc. $2.5 an eighth ouncer. You're like, where'd they come up with that? Well, if you're old enough, you've heard people say 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits a dollar. They used to break everything down by eighths, not tenths, when it came to money. Don't ask me why. It's just what they did. But you can buy this stuff right now for like basically the same price. An antique $20 gold piece from the 1800s. And I can't guarantee I always have this stuff available. But a circulated antique $20 gold piece goes for about the same price as a 1 ounce American Gold Eagle bullion coin. Well, why would you buy the bullion coin when you can buy some 150 years old? Plus, and that applies to all of it. But that's just where we build portfolios. Most people say, here, I want to do this, I want to do that, help me out. People go online, look around, they don't know what they're looking at for sure. They go to certain websites, they see things they want, they come in, they go, I want this. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes they're missing a lot of other options because there's so many. But we keep things to the non-reportable American products. Well, I'd say non-reportable products. There's other products that fall into that category. But the other thing about pre-33 gold that people like is in 1933, FDR, you know, hypothetically confiscated gold. They had overrun the Fed. They pumped so many pieces of currency out that said they were backed by gold, which was a lie. The ratio was supposedly 33 to 1. In other words, there were 33 times as many banknotes that said they were backed by gold as the gold that was sitting in Fort Knox. People were turning their gold into the banks thinking they can get it out later. After the Fed of 13, you know, they just kept going because the paper money said it. You know, the Fed ended up taking all the gold. The Fed took it all and gave us back a bunch of junky paper money. Pre-33 gold endured that. FDR didn't bother when he said, hey, turn your gold in. Of course, they bought it from him at 20 bucks an ounce or whatever it was, which is why these are $20 gold pieces. And then after they assumed they'd accumulated about 85% of America's gold over 20-ish years, they bumped the rate up to, they issued the executive order saying you couldn't have it, bullion. You could still have jewelry and you could still have coins made before 33. Why? Well, the executive order was in 33, but why coins before 33? Because we've never obsoleted our currency. It's got a legal tender face value. It's money. You're not going to spend a $20 gold piece for 20 bucks because it's worth, you know, $1,900 or whatever. But still, you get my point. That's a good way to go when it's available. If there's people out there right now that have, you know, that want to move into some savings or whatever, get your money in here. We'll build your portfolio. We're really good at it, I promise. No one will treat you like I do. We have had so much. I'm getting so much more knowledge of just every. There's so much stuff in this business. This business is the true free market. It's truly a free market. You know, on Wednesday, I started this quote from Lindbergh, and I didn't finish it. And it bothered me. And I had it on a piece of paper, and then I lost it. Here's what he said. After the Fed came in, Charles Lindbergh, the guy who flew around the world, he said, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, The banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Now, what's that mean? I just got done telling you about our prosperity. Here's what it means. You can't rest. You can't stop. You want to own a home? Great. Not only do you have to fight entropy and the breakdown of the home, which is a lot of work and money, you got to keep paying taxes. You got to have your money growing to sell it to protect yourself against inflation. And I can tell you, I've got some numbers, I think, here, if I haven't blown that today. I'll just bust through some of this stuff. When you buy metals, you got to have a long-term mindset. I'm going to talk fast because I'm always short on time. We are called by God to be a good steward. We got the parable of talents. What's it say? You gained, so I'll give you more. You are smart, so I'll give you more. If you're faithful with little, I'll give you much. To much, to him who much is given, much is required. We are accountable, folks. Free will. I'm a big free will guy. Money is a very important accounting of our lives and our heart condition. It's the primary indicator of your heart's condition and even your spirit. We deal with people occasionally, it's rare, but we see a side of them when it comes to money that's not attractive. And, you know, they're like, I'm sure they would justify their behavior with X, Y, Z, but the way you handle your money, they're like, this is all my money and you need to, you know, and you don't understand. No, we do understand. We care more than you do. You're like, how could you care about my money more than I do? I've been doing this 30 years. We have an impeccable reputation. We care. We take it very, very seriously. We know what it takes to earn a buck, too. When you think of gold and silver, precious metals-based assets versus paper, you're back to what I was talking about with governments. It's God versus man. Gold, precious metals made by God, recommended, ordained, authorized, required. That's God. paper money, fiat anything, annuities, whatever it is, it's man. You can put your faith in man, but know what you're going to get out of it. Stock is only as good as the company that performs, and you're the last one to get paid. We've had hyper inflation. That doesn't mean business growth. That just means too much money. Monetary inflation, the definition is an increase in the money supply. You either play the monetary inflation game or you do true wealth building with God's, you know, hard assets. I mean that. I really believe that. The growth of precious metals since they were deregulated. In 1971, they took us officially off the gold standard, okay? Gold has gone from about $35 an ounce to almost, it's gone up to $2,000. But as we sit at around 1,800 and change, that's a 5,000% increase over 50 years, okay? 5,000%, 50 years. Divide 5,000 by 50. That's 100% per year. Not compounded, obviously, but it's still 100% per year. Compounded, it's probably 21% or something. You can't do that anywhere. It's destroyed, even with the peaked out Trump market. If you look at the term of the Dow versus that, the metals still outperform, and you don't have reporting, you don't have taxes, you don't have all this garbage when it comes to wealth transfer when you die. A lot of it's non-reportable on the Act of 1985, and on I go. The depletion of precious metals. We had, as of 2022, let's see, in 1900, there was 14 billion ounces of silver. We have 2% of that now. It's being depleted. Metals have drastically outperformed the world market since 9/11. Again, despite this Dow Jones explosion. When it comes to the Dow Jones Industrial, to all these indexes, S&P, NASDAQ, etc., these markets are artificially, these indexes, is where they take a bunch of stocks and use them as an index. They're artificially manipulated markets, and they literally have deceptive removal and replacement policies for stocks that are failing. So even despite the unethical accounting practices, these indexes still cannot even barely show a gain over, well, they can't show a gain over metals. They're still falling way behind. The overall percentage growth, even from the low of, you know, before Trump got in till the high, it's still like 80%. The metals are like 150%. You get the point. I mean, I've got all these other numbers I won't get into. They're creating money from nothing. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Historical performance throughout all written human history. Metals have always been the pinnacle form of wealth and monetary exchange for every civilized society. There's no exception. It has absolutely been without fail. Precious metals have endured every form of global, economic, political, and natural form of chaos encountered throughout human history. They've never failed. They're always there. We have a bull market, folks. Bull market. We're on the brink, poised to run based on escalating turmoil and the scarcity of metals themselves. I just say the wake-up call is now. There's so much stuff. The new trend of a state of protest, occupation, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. We've got true fascists living on our government, filled with entitlement. And precious metals give you the ability to be mobile. I just am seeing a lot of global fascism. These global mergers of government and corporate entities is never seen before. I've talked about this. You need gold, guns, and a getaway plan. I have talked about this C corporation thing that they did all the wealth transfer during COVID, and they can control a C corporation. C corporations, those are the big boys, publicly traded stocks. They control people, and they can implement horrendous behaviors through these corporations. They don't. That's why they destroy the small guys like me, the S corps. They don't want us around. We have independent-minded, free thinking, and why I still don't get why all these C corp CEOs are left-wing and socialists. I think it's because they made billions and billions and billions of dollars. They know that no matter what happens, they're always going to be at the top of the heap. And now that they've got their money, they don't really want anyone else to have a chance to get it, I suppose. I can't tell you that for sure. You need personal security, financial security, a safe haven. You got to have a plan for if power goes out and things like that. Everyone should be prepared. It's owning metals is not some kind of crazy investment. It's solid rock money. That's it. Call us 509-444-0044. We will take care of you. We're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6. We do close intermittently for different holidays and things, and we'll try to forewarn you about that. You can go to our website and listen to the radio shows afterwards. I'm posting them when I air from my studio, I record them. When I air outside of the studio, I'm not always recording it. So I appreciate you tuning in. Give us some three five-star reviews. We'll give you $2 silver. Have a beautiful weekend. Love you. Bye-bye.